to Utucker News Podcast, Episode 2. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Spike.
And I'm Colin.
Right, let's kick off quickly with the news.
Right, as is usual to start off with the news, recently in London they had the MCM Expo event, and so that means new DVD and Blu-ray releases. So starting off with the manga and Kaze releases, film Trigun's Badland Rumble is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray on October 1st,
awesome.
Which is really worth it.
To see that.
It's extremely good and looks amazing all the way throughout, so very much recommended. The World God Only Knows Season 1 is coming out on October 8th, and Season 2 will be released next year. I know Spike likes that one.
I've seen both, and they are awesome.
I watched the first episode the other day on your recommendation. I might watch more. It is very of a certain kind of anime, I feel.
What exactly are you suggesting? It's not fanservice-y.
Did it change from the first episode?
Seriously, it changes to basically the main character being continually punished.
Next up, Sengoku Basara Samurai Kings 2 is out on DVD on September 17th. There's going to also be a box set available with the first series. There's a Trigun Bunny film actually coming out, which is tentatively planned to actually screen in both London and Scotland, along with the Japanese premiere on September 22nd.
Wow, nice.
Know where I'll be on September 22nd.
Yeah, and it's also followed by the DVD release of the first half of the TV series on October 29th. Blue Exorcist Part 1's containing the first 13 episodes out on August 20th. Black Lagoon's coming out on July 2nd. That's the first two seasons along with some Blu-rays as well.
I was going to say, it's pretty old, isn't it, Black Lagoon?
I believe so, yeah. But apparently it is very good.
Yes, not that any of us ever buy Grey Imports, but it's not like I've had that for... Ooh, bloody hell. I think I bought that at the London Anime Club.
Wow, that
so that's been out for a while then, yeah. First series of Squid Girl is coming out on August 13th.
Good fun.
Yep. Punchy and Stucky with Gardspell is scheduled for July 30, although manga is still actually waiting for the tapes from either the States or Japan, so that might get delayed quite easily.
And God, that is just Gainax madness.
I'm looking forward to actually seeing more of that, because Punchy and Stucky is basically Powerpuff Girls and crack. To use a bit of a cliche.
Pretty much, yeah. It's quite odd.
Powerpuff Girls who are crack whores. Probably more the second than the first word there, I think. Fine.
On August 6th, we've got the second series of Spice and Wolf.
Excellent.
And Clannad After Stories scheduled for September, which I did like. I really liked Clannad, but I really didn't like After Story.
I really like Clannad, so now I'm slightly worried about going to buy the...
Well, After Story is that weird one that... It always annoys me that like romance series end when the couple get together. And you never see, like, anything else afterwards.
It's a bit of a shame, because even, like, Karikano, which was a Gainax romance series, they pretty much just end when they're together, and the manga actually carries on.
Yeah, well, this is actually what After Story is. It's the main two characters a bit further on down the line.
Okay.
But it just... I think what I didn't like about it was the main two characters of Clannad After Story are the most annoying two characters in the entire series.
It's a dating game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's based on a sort of soldier game. And it's all the other characters that are interesting, and then in the second series, all the other school friends kind of disappear, and so you're just left with two annoying characters for a while.
I guess that's the awkward thing about making anime out of a dating game, is that you've got to try and put each girl in for the fans of the game.
Oh, yeah.
But to actually have a good romance story when it's not interactive, they have to pick one. And it's always going to be...
Well, the original series does do quite a good job of going through some of the different arcs for some of the characters.
He does basically go through almost the whole arc for each character, but eventually picks... Well, we won't give it away.
Yeah.
That makes the main character a little bit creepy, because they literally date everyone inside.
No, he doesn't actually date any of the other characters.
Okay, he just kind of...
Yeah, he just befriends them, sort of
that
thing.
That doesn't make him creepy, that makes him a lucky bastard. Oh no, I'm in a school surrounded by beautiful, scantily clad girls. What shall I do?
Well, one of them is trying to run around with a starfish.
True.
And is invisible to everyone else.
That has its benefits. The judge can't see you, she can't prosecute.
That's just wrong. There's also the new Berserk film, The Egg of the Supreme Ruler. It will be released at the end of the year. They're actually also planning a limited theatrical run in October.
Also, I didn't even know they were still making Berserk.
It's obviously still that popular.
Was it like Trigun, maybe a bit of a revival?
I think that's the case, yeah. Maybe it's one of those ones that if it does well enough, they'll look into doing some more. Although I'm saying it's the Berserk Golden Age Arc 1, so I'm guessing there's going to be more. There's also the feature film for Tales of Vesperia, The First Strike, is going to be released in December. The Gintama film is going to be released by manga on DVD only. Puella Magi Madoka Magica is going to actually be released on October 22nd. And it's the complete set on both DVD Blu-ray, that's coming out at a SRP of $29.99 for the DVDs and $39.99 for the Blu-ray, which is remarkably cheaper than the States for the Blu-rays.
And this is a really good series. I think it's one you won't want to watch like episode by episode. It's good to have, kind of have a bit of a binge of it, because there's a lot of cliffhangers.
Definitely, yeah. And, I mean, compared to the prices for the Blu-rays out in the States, that's you're getting all of it for the price that they're getting for episodes.
Yeah, because wasn't it something like $36 for like the first disc?
Higher, I think.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah, I think the conversion I saw came out to £38, so... And that's only the suggested retail price. If you actually get it off like Amazon or somewhere else, you'd probably get it cheaper as well.
Nice, I should be picking that up.
Yeah, I think we all will. MVM releases, Bradacious Space Pirates, Dream Eater Mary and Rosen Maiden Overture will all be released in 2013. In September, you're going to get the first series of the Rosario and Vampire anime with the second season in October. And as Spike's clearly pointing out by imitating a gun to his head, get the manga instead, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's really, a lot better.
Really do.
Who releases the manga? You know.
Yeah, it's Viz, like the Shonen Jump Advanced.
Okay, so,
so it's actually still coming out, yes. Good news for us Shonen fans. MVM have actually licensed the second series. It's only been years since they put out the first one.
Mm.
And they're also trying to get the films, OVs, and the third TV series as well.
Nice.
So that's all good. And Mayuchiki is going to come out in November. That's all about a normal guy who's like allergic to touching girls finds out that some fancy woman's butler isn't actually a bloke, but it's a girl and has to keep her secret. Quite fan servicey and lots of girls around.
It's a definite weird trend about people who are allergic to the opposite sex. Because Maria Hollick's got that as well.
Yeah, and Girls Bravo as well.
Is that a real allergy?
I don't know, most girls seem to object to touching me.
So therefore, it must be true. For other sort of rights thing, this isn't actually MVM, but Anime On Demand now actually hold the rights to the second series of The Grange, The Flower of Rinne, which is
awesome.
Good mech show, which has started promoing, or they've got the first promo now on YouTube, which just shows more mechs and little snapshots of the characters.
Sweet.
Yep.
So, yep, that'd be good.
And of course, we've had the second promo of Dog Days, the second series of...
Oh, they actually put promo out for that.
Second promo's up.
That was a weird show in places. It's sort of like weird animals sort of doing it. It's a knockout to see who rules the land?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a weird one.
It had some interesting points and catgirls, so, you know. I'm not coming off very well over this, am I?
It's all...
You just sound like every other male anime fan.
Okay.
It's soon to come out, very soon actually, in Japan. There's a very, very condensed version of the Persona 4 anime, which I mentioned on the last episode, which takes the entire 25-episode series and the true ending episode IV that's going to come out in October and condenses it all down to 90 minutes.
That's because the game takes something like 200 hours or something.
I'd say more like 80.
80 hours.
Roughly, yeah. So they've cut out an awful lot of storyline just to get it down to 25 episodes, and now they're cutting it down to 90 minutes. So it's going to be like the Gurren Lagann movies, only watchable if you know what's going on and you've already seen it, or if you've played the game.
Basically, your head fills in the blanks.
Yeah. Bit of a shame, really. But it's also... Sentai Filmworks have picked up the license, so it's going to come out on DVD and Blu-ray or start later on in the year. But if you want to watch it now, you can actually watch the TV version streamed on Anime On Demand. Next up, someone's paid an awful lot of money for a K-On! Guitar, again.
It was worth every penny.
Yeah, on the Yahoo Japan auction website, a person has put up, it's a copy of Azusa's Fender Mustang guitar, signed by all five girls in the band, with a case and like a beginner sheet and some like character song sheet music. Did you actually look at how much this went for?
Yes,
or?
I did.
Yeah, it went for 5.566 million yen, which comes to £46,453, which is quite a lot, really.
If you think, as you and I are both guitarists, what kind of awesome guitar you could buy for that money?
How many awesome guitars could you buy for that money?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have a Marshall amp the size of this room, wouldn't you?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's never going to get played. It's going to sit on...
No, that is like just purely seen as a collector's item.
Yeah.
They did try... a different seller actually tried to do one towards the end of last year with Yui's guitar, but that got had to be taken down when someone put in a 9,999,999,999 yen bid.
Lol, troll.
Yeah, basically. So, yep, someone spent an awful lot of money on a guitar they will never play.
And yeah, in about 5 years, it will be out of fashion. There'll only be a few K-On! Fans left. You've got loads of money. Like, how often do you do this when you're a big fan of a series? Like, you buy the action figures or the T-shirts. In about 5 or 6 years, something way better comes along. And it's like, you don't hate it, but you think, why have I got, like, 7 figures of this series?
Well, obviously, the Japanese...
Get out.
Do you never, like, look at something you bought in the past and go, why did I buy that? Or do you just retain your love?
So, how long ago was Full Metal Panic?
Quite a few years.
How long ago was Macross? Well, we've had its 25-year anniversary, put it that way. I do not regret buying any of those models. I love them as much today as I ever have. And that's why I don't have a girlfriend.
Yeah, well, obviously, K-On! Has still maintained its popularity in Japan a bit more than I think it's fared in the West, because it start when the first series started off, it was like the second coming of Jesus. Everyone was absolutely praising it. Then it got to about halfway through the show, and all of a sudden, there was just like a massive backlash on it. Personally, I still really enjoyed it, but...
Same here.
Yep.
They even painted a train with it, didn't they?
Yeah, that was a scary-ass train. It was like bright pink with all like the characters on the outside.
Oh, I've seen like the cars and... stuff with K-On! People.
Yeah, no, this is actually done by like part of the Japan Railway, I think.
Really?
This is actually like officially sanctioned.
Proper train.
It's a proper train. It's not just someone's gone out and done like artwork on their car or put decals on it.
I wonder if they were like the Taku just taking train rides, just riding the K-On!
Yeah,
train.
There would have been.
I mean, you were saying about, you know, things going out of fashion. There are still very well kept up Ishtar cars.
Oh, yeah.
With that they're still putting Nadesco characters on.
Oh yeah, some of those are still surprisingly popular.
Yeah, I saw one, a very recent Mitsubishi in Akihabara had, guess which character?
Ruri.
Yeah.
Is it Ruri from the movie or Ruri?
Oh, it's Ruri from the movie.
Oh, well, that's not so bad.
Yes, it is!
Next up, we're just going to leave that one there.
Yeah.
Just leave the lolly alone.
Rules to live your life by.
One of my favourite shows is coming out over in the States. It's Aniplex USA are releasing Bakemonogatari.
Hooray!
Yes. Later on in the year, it's going to be Blu-ray only and sub only as well.
Hmm.
Which, some of that's going to be really confusing because a lot of stuff in like the start of the episodes is like an entire sort of, like static screen of text, but it's only up for like half a second, so... I'm assuming if they're just going to put subtitles all over that, it could look a bit funny.
I think they'll probably replace it with English text.
Yeah, but it would definitely be a good one to actually have and sit through so you'd be able to like go frame by frame through, because some of the text just goes through so quickly and it does actually explain some of the backstory as well.
So it's vital text that you should read, but they're not letting you in any way read it unless you freeze frame it.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's very peculiar. Like, I get it.
But it is Shaft, so that explains quite a bit of it, actually.
Yeah, so I can dig it.
And now onto sort of anime gaming-esque news. There's some promos out for the Dragon Ball Z Connect game. Really, seriously, look these up on YouTube. There's the second one specifically is you get some QR codes with the actual game. You can use the Connect scanner to scan them in and it unlocks, I think it's characters and like extra moves. But some of the other shots on the video are great because the guy's sort of like standing there trying to do the power-up move. It just looks like he's... gonna crap himself.
See, it's not the first motion-controlled Dragon Ball game. There was actually like a TV plug-in game
quite
a number of years ago, and it was called something like Let's Kamehameha.
Right.
And I can kind of see the appeal of that, like, you know, sitting there doing the stupid moves, but I wouldn't want to do it more than once and not with anyone else around. So I guess
yeah.
That's why you want to pay, what, like 40-odd quid it's going to be when it comes out.
Well, yeah, I mean, if this is the only thing that you're interested in getting Kinect for as well, even more. Yeah, no, it's one that claims that you can do it or read, like, all the known moves, as you say, like the Kamehameha, the Spirit Bomb and stuff like that, but it's just worth watching the promo because it just, the guy looks stupid playing it.
Everyone looks stupid playing Kinect.
Yeah, the only upside is that it is apparently going to have 30 minutes of new anime footage.
Really?
But
YouTube!
Yeah, but it also only says that Namco Bandai are going to release it in North America and Europe, not actually for Japan.
Because they don't like Xbox in Japan.
Or Kinect, yeah. And the next one is that, coming soon for the PS3, there's an Evangelion game which basically recreates the pachinko game and the slot machine game on your PS3 for you.
That's what you've been waiting for. But that would actually be a better Kinect game than Dragon Ball. If they did like a MechWarrior thing where you use Kinect as like in the cockpit of the Ava.
Well, that's Steel Battalion.
Yeah, basically. If they did Steel Battalion but with Ava, that would kind of be alright.
Possibly, yeah. I reckon that would be better, yeah.
Chinko, I can't say with 30.
Psychological problems optional.
Yeah, I think the only way that you'd really want this is they have actually made some exclusive CG for the pachinko game and the slot machine. So if you actually wanted to see it and hear it, how it's actually meant to be seen, you might play it for that, because, as we were chatting earlier, being in a pachinko parlour is stupidly loud.
Yep.
And you'd never hear anything off.
And very sweaty. Things.
Yeah. That's it for the news.
Or you could just wait and watch it on YouTube.
That'll probably be what most people do, yes.
What, pachinko?
That could be a bit weird.
How boring would you be to sit and watch pachinko online?
I bet if we looked on YouTube, there will be videos of pachinko. I found the other day about 20 videos of people showing how to use their Oyster cards in the underground with like different commentary and jazzy music.
I wish more people had watched that today.
Oh, right, yeah, because... Yeah. Of the travel, yeah. For anyone that doesn't actually know, pachinko is sort of a really simplified Japanese sort of pinball where you just feed in a load of small ball bearings and they just get fired around the machine, and depending on where they land, you either lose the balls or get more out. It's their form of sort of like semi-legalized gambling.
It's, I think, based on the early English pub game Bagatelle.
Wouldn't surprise me, yeah, but it's all automated as well, so you just keep feeding balls into it.
Like Lucky Hit from Shenmue. Would you like to play Lucky Hit? I know the rule.
I haven't played Shenmue in, like, since 2001, so I can't remember that far back. That's the end of the news.
And now we're going to do some reviews, or try to. Should we kick off with Steins Gate?
Certainly. This, for us over in the UK, is available on Anime On Demand.
It's a science fiction show set in Japan. And it's about basically a bunch of otaku who accidentally invent a time machine using a cell phone and a microwave.
Yeah. Which, there is some bizarre... You're not getting away with that one.
Oh, I'm not, am I? Should have thought of that beforehand.
Yeah. Well, they're not technically otaku in what we would consider the otaku sense. They're actually university students. Yeah. Oh, I thought they were university students anyway.
Well, they kind of hint. I definitely, they're kind of a tucker, because one's kind of a hacker guy.
Oh, yeah, and does sort of like cute things. And
the main character has declared himself a mad scientist and goes around telling everyone he's a mad scientist!
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's the first episode takes most of the place out in Akihabara, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Akihabara is kind of central to the plot in places.
Very much so, yeah. And while it's because they go to see a lecture on theoretical time travel.
Yep.
But at the same time, he runs into a girl that he knows, but sees her dead on the floor.
Yeah, so he's kind of talking, the whole series is about, you know, time travel, and they go through time travel and its implications. So at first they're playing with it, and then they start to see the implications of time travel, and they get different versions. They don't actually physically move through time. They can send information through time.
Yeah, because that's how it initially starts off. It starts off that they can send text messages back, what, about 24 hours, is it? And then eventually they work out how to do more and more with it.
Yeah, they can start sending messages further and further back in time. And of course, the further back you send it, the more of an effect it can have.
Very much so, yeah. Because it is actually a... based on the visual novel game, so there's quite a few characters and quite a few girls as well.
Yeah, but they don't go over heavy with the romance, actually. They kind of drop hints, but it isn't about him getting girls.
Yeah, no, it's not like, as I sort of mentioned, like Clannad earlier, which is also a visual novel. It's not that he's constantly running around trying to get all the girls. It's kind of almost the semi-opposite. The way the main character, Hyun Kuma, actually acts is always quite aloof, and sometimes he seems like he's deliberately distancing people and stuff, and he's actually the hardest character to get on with, I think, because almost all the other characters are pretty much instantly likable.
And they're pretty straightforward.
He's not sure kind of what he wants, and he's not sure of his feelings at certain points, I'd say.
I think there's definitely an aspect that he's deliberately hiding part of himself. He's taken on this persona, which is quite funny, and they get a lot of comedy from him being a complete jerk to everyone.
Yeah.
So he's decided that his flat above a TV shop is actually a lab, and he declares people he likes that he wants to basically essentially be friends with their lab members, and he starts ordering them about. So some characters just kind of go along with it and play, you know, play along. along with it.
Yeah, he's got like either a childhood or high school friend, Miyuri,
yeah.
Who works in like a cosplay cafe, and who's basically, I think, even part of the way into the show, she just says she's his hostage.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But all she does is pretty much sit around the flat, not do much, and like every now and again do some outfits.
Yeah.
But yeah, as it progresses, they introduce like a load of different side characters. As I say, there's a well, she's not an American scientist. She was just studying out in America, wasn't it, Chris?
Yeah, Chris. I think she might be Japanese American.
Yeah, and she's like one comes in as one of the main other characters because she's also looking at sort of theories of time travel and is a university student. I think. She's over here doing like part of, or over in Japan, sorry, doing part of her thesis.
Yeah.
And so she gets intrigued, not because of the guy, but because of the work he's doing.
Yeah.
Because they start looking into hacking an evil corporation's website.
Conspiracy theory. So they've basically got the evil corporation they keep talking about is CERN, but it's spelt with an S rather than a C. No, which is the actual CERN?
C-E-R.
Yeah, in the anime it's spelled with S to say it's not Al, probably not Al CERN, but it's a CERN.
It's an alternate reality version of CERN.
Yeah.
Right.
And basically there, Kion. No, Kion?
That's Kyo. Harry. Kyoma.
No more water for you.
Kyoma, like, he keeps joking that an evil corporation is watching him.
Yeah, he'll often put, in like the middle of a conversation, he'll pull out his cell phone and just start talking even though there's no one on the other end.
As if he's doing a report to his
So that's why I think it takes a couple of episodes to get to like him, because he just seems really arrogant and annoying to begin with. But as a few episodes pass, it sort of, you do start to see a bit more of his real character sort of come through.
What I like about this is they're fairly consistent with the way they use time travel, and they actually really look at its effects.
Oh, yeah, definitely. How much have you seen through it? Or...
About three quarters.
Ah, right, yeah. So being careful not to say too much here, because it's a little bit slow to start off with, and then once they start messing with the ideas of sending these messages back, it slowly starts escalating to the point where if you were like me, you kind of get to like halfway through the series and then you just want to watch all the second half in one go.
They spend a lot of time building things up to kind of knock them down.
Yeah.
And it's weird because at first, when it first started, I thought it was going to be a comedy.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because the way Kira acts and the way they're just messing with stuff and they keep, you know, changing things with the time travel, I thought this is just going to get sillier and sillier of what happens. But when they actually start talking about the implications, when they start seeing undesired side effects which they hadn't thought about, then it gets a bit more serious.
Yeah, it should be noted that it's sort of a sister, I'd say, it's based on a visual novel which was done, I believe, by the same people who did Chaos Head.
All right.
And that starts off in a very similar way, that these weird stuff's happening, and then it progressively gets a bit darker as it goes on. As you say, the first three episodes are kind of light-hearted and fun of this, and then all, as it goes on, it starts to get a bit more serious.
I just say, I recommend this if you like a good bit of science fiction, because it's really well written.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But if you start it, I'd say watch the first couple of episodes in a bunch.
Yeah, I'd say it takes a little while to get going, but then once it does, I think most people get, if you like your sci-fi, you'll get hooked into it.
Yep.
And it's very good.
Okay, do you want to go next?
Hell, why not? What I'd like to talk about is a new series that's coming out called Hayore Nuruko-san. It's what you'd think of was a standard harem comedy, but with a twist. It's actually based on H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu mythos. So the main protagonist here is a crawling nameless horror who accidentally looks like a cute silver-haired girl in a skimpy outfit.
Just say, we did watch the intro and it looked very much like a typical, well, apart from some weirdness in the intro, it was lots of, the opening animation is lots of people, just like cute characters just running around.
Cute girls in a trap.
Basically, the plot goes along the lines of this girl, called Nuruko, has been sent to guard a guy called Mahiro Yasaka from aliens.
Right.
Turn out to be basically all of the characters from H.P. Lovecraft's Miskatonic University series. Well, that's the setup, really. Again, it's very much a horror and comedy. There are a few twists here and there. Eventually, there's a guy that looks like a girl who likes guys, and a girl who definitely looks like a girl who likes girls. So what you end up is a very weird shaped, not so much a love triangle, but a love quadrangle.
Or just a mess.
It's basically a funny mess.
Nice.
It's not particularly cerebral, but it's a lot of fun. Grab yourself a beer and kill half an hour.
Do you need any Lovecraft knowledge to get the in-jokes, or can you just watch it as a straight-up?
You can watch it straight-up, and quite frankly, I've read quite a few of Lovecraft's novels, and it's not something I'd recommend ever doing. Not unless you want a headache.
And where can you find this?
Crunchyroll, I believe. So, Colin, you had...
Yes, I've been recently reading The Wavering and the Rampage of Susumu Haruhi.
Which is a Haruhi light novel.
Yeah, the most recent light novels, they're what, numbers 6 and 7? I think. No, 5 and 6. Because Disappearance is 4. Yeah.
I don't know, I just buy them as yeah. Well.
They're just multiple colours, so... Yeah. Yeah, no, the reason that I've started getting back into these is they're the first actual light novels that have any new content if you've seen all of the anime.
Yeah.
So we're talking both series and the film. Some of it does actually pick off, because they're both a series of like 4 or 5 short stories in each book.
Yeah.
Some of them are about how they had the summer training camp and they had a murder event. Surprise, surprise, it's happened again, but only this time in winter.
Yeah, we should say the thing about these is some of them go over past events, but slightly from different viewpoints. So if you're just buying them purely to carry on the story of the anime, you have to wade through a lot of stuff to get new content.
Yeah, like the start of Rampage is Endless Eight, but it's Endless Eight done in the correct way. You only go round once.
Yeah.
Just the way it should have been done in the anime, really.
It's basically, it's the last cycle, but it's the last one that Kion remembers. We should say the novels, the way the series are narrated by Kion, so the novels are basically all from his
perspective. Yeah, they're all from his perspective, so quite a few new ones. There's some interesting ones where they get trapped in a really bizarre closed space.
Yes.
That no one seems to know exactly what's going on, and that happens out on the winter trip as well.
Yeah, the hotel.
Yeah, and personally, I actually like the Harry series apart from Endless Eight, and it's nice to be actually finally reading some new stuff about it and trying to work out some more about what is actually going on in this world that is filled with Espers, time travellers, and alien interface machines.
Yeah, there's a couple of bombshells in these books, so...
Well, potential
Mikro for a start.
Well, it depends if you buy the hardback with the pictures.
There's extra pictures in the hardback ones?
Yeah, there's two editions. There's the softback and the hardback, and the hardback have got all like the full colour inserts in Japanese...
Oh, at the end, or...?
In the middle of the book.
Alright, well...
It's got full-colour illustrations, and it's got a full-colour cover as well.
Whereas the softback do have their colour illustrations at the end.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
So. Hardback's nice.
Yeah. If you want to get the hardbacks, then you get the hardbacks, yeah.
But I've looked online, unfortunately, no e-book version at the moment, so you will have to buy the physical book.
Yeah, but they're available on both, like, Amazon or... other websites for about £5 each, so...
Occasionally some bookshops as well, but you have to hunt around for them.
Yeah, I mean, the only ones I've seen them in have been, like, comic book shops. And that they'll get, like, a limited amount, and then once they're gone, they just seem to stay gone.
So it's pretty much order online for those.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I really enjoy the Haruhi books. I think they're really well kind of written. The translation's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I would highly recommend that if you like Haruhi... that you consider reading.
Yeah, carry on with, like, if you've seen all the stuff so far, I think everything in the first 4 books has been covered by the shows now.
Yeah.
And there's just a few extras that you'll end up rereading in volumes sort of 5 and 6 that you've already seen, like what actually happens at the culture festival where Harry ends up on stage playing the guitar.
Now to our Anime Hall of Fame, where we kind of talk about older shows that we think you should try and go and watch. And this episode we're going to do Hurry and Goo. The basic premise is a boy lives in the jungle with his slightly drunken mother. And one day she just turns up and says, this girl's going to live with us, she's called Goo. And Goo appears to be a cute, sweet little girl, and they sit and they play games together. And he wakes up the next day and suddenly Goo is completely, you know, emotionless. But no one else sees this. They think she's still the cute girl that they met the previous day. It turns out Goo has some kind of incredible powers, which she uses sometimes for mischief, sometimes to teach Haruhi lessons, but a lot of the characters aren't actually aware of what she's doing.
Yeah, no, it's all of her energy is spent tormenting Haruhi. It's... That's all she seems to do throughout the entire show. Well, it's just trying to annoy him or piss him off. Or
I think there's always a reason behind it, because his life does end up better for it. But he stresses out. Like, Hari is really tightly strung. So Gu will do stuff like, her big thing is she eats people.
And him.
And him. And she has a small universe within herself where it is a bunch of people live and strange creatures. And then when she spits people out again, they don't remember. So Hari will run around going, you know, this horrible thing's happened.
Well, no, because Hari does start talking to the people when, like, Gu knocks stuff out. He starts talking to them in her eyes and stuff. So he does remember going there.
He remembers, but other characters, if they go in there, they don't. And Gu has, like, incredible powers. Like, she can shake her arms, make her arms stretch.
Yeah, she's basically just a complete enigma. She talks in this really weird, like, or in the Japanese, she talks in this really, sort of, like, almost a woman voice.
Yeah.
And Spike's looking at me with really raised eyebrows now.
I'm going to need two doctors and a judge.
It's not that far off. She does have, like, considering like all the other characters sound like they would do
cute
at that
smarty
age. Yeah, she sounds pretty weird.
Yes, I really like this series. It is incredibly weird.
Yeah, if you're looking for one with a proper overarching plot and things that make sense, this is not the place.
Well, there is a kind of a plot running through.
There's an overarching plot, but it's the sort of this week Hari goes to this bit of the jungle and finds this creature or whatever you it's, which seems to happen a fair bit, and or this time he gets swallowed by Gu again and meets the insane woman that likes to attack people in her stomach.
Doesn't she have two students living in her head?
To begin with, yeah, and then that weird psychopath lady turns up part of the way through, I think. Mm-hmm. Or is that later on?
Yeah, it's towards the end of the series, but she does turn up.
Yeah, it's an interesting show, definitely.
I think it's incredibly funny.
So oh, yeah.
The pacing's really, really good in it. So you think things can possibly get any weirder, and then Gu will do something else.
Yeah, it's also one of the only anime box sets I've bought that comes with a free chest wig with the first volume.
Yeah, I mean, the chest hair wig thing is a kind of running joke that runs all the way through the anime. And when they released the DVDs, because unfortunately this is only available on import, they did a box set that comes with the chest hair wig, which you can choose to wear on your head or on your chest if you're a bloke.
Sorry, the mental image there was just...
Yeah, no, it's a pretty bizarre show. It's so many bright colours that it almost seems like they're creating some new ones at some points.
Yeah, this was done with highlighters, this show.
Yeah.
Not very likable characters, though. So, like, there's a teacher who keeps falling asleep in the middle of class.
Yeah, he'll just sort of, like, ignore all the classes and wander off of his pillow.
Hari's mother is a complete drunk. In the very opening of the series, Hari's playing, like, Dragon Quest or something, and he's got into a dungeon. And his mum just walks in, and she's like, "You need to go shopping." And he's like, no, let me finish the dungeon. She just walks off and turns his console off. He's like, "Well, now you're not playing, you can go." And he's just sitting there going, "I was at the boss!"
Yeah, because he hasn't saved in, like, 7 hours or something.
Yeah, so he kind of goes through the jungle and he's, like, shopping this. And he's got a piece of paper. It's got, like, bananas, just a picture of banana times 7.
Yeah. Well, that's where he first encounters Gu, because he gets swallowed whilst trying to get the bananas.
Yeah.
There is a couple of IOV series afterwards, but I don't think they were ever released out in America, were they?
I think the first one was, the second one.
All right, the deluxe series was.
Deluxe was, but I don't think final was.
That's
unfortunate.
Yeah, not that it actually ends anything, even if it is called final.
Yeah. It's an adaptation of a manga, so...
Yeah, and the manga, to my knowledge, has never been licensed.
No, it hasn't, so... All you're going to get is the anime. It's not going to resolve any plot lines at all, but it's a really fun ride.
Yeah, just as long as you like slightly demented things. So if you like Pani Pony Dash, then this is perfect.
Yeah.
If you like Pani Pony Dash, go and watch Nichijou.
Yeah.
Oh, Nichijou takes a long time to warm up, though.
That's very
true. Gets going a lot quicker. I think if you watch sort of, it gets going from the first episode.
Yeah. Well, the weirdness gets going from the first episode anyway. It's also got a stupidly infectious opening song.
Yes, the opening song is amazing. And if you've heard this at an anime convention at like one of the parties, you'll pretty much eat everyone congering.
That's always the opening to Deluxe.
It's the same opening. It's just a remix. Not,
they are quite different. If you've listened to them that many times, they're quite different.
It's the same song. It's a remix.
Yeah, I still prefer the original version, though.
Yeah, it's either that or I believe the ending to Mahoromatic does the same trick. Most anime conventions.
Yes. That is a really good song as well.
I like all the music in the show, actually. It's background music, it's quite distinctive. Like, you know something's going to... There's a particular song that plays when Goody's up to something. You know, once that starts playing, it's going to get even weirder pretty quick.
Very much so, yes.
That was the Otaku News podcast. We hope we haven't scared you off too much. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at podcast@otakunews.com.
And we also have a Twitter feed, which is Otaku Newscast.
Thanks for listening.
Alright, so for my section of reviews, I'm going to be talking about the two most recent Haruhi Light novels, The Rampage and Wavering. I can't even say the English name right, let alone the Japanese part.